Surat At-Tawbah, ayah number 55 onwards. وَلَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ. So let not their wealth or their children impress you. Allah only intends to punish them, through them, in worldly life, and that their souls should depart at death, while they are disbelievers. Allah says in Surah Taha, in ayah number 131, And strain not your eyes in longing for the things we have given for the enjoyment to various groups of them, the splendor of the life of this world, that we may test them thereby, but the provision of good reward in the hereafter, of your Lord is better and more lasting. Allah says, do not be impressed with the hypocrites. It's simply a test for them. Mal and aulad, children and wealth without iman and obedience are a punishment. In Surah Ali Imran, we learn that wealth and children are an excellent tools to earn akhirah, but with hypocrisy and with disbelief, they are simply a punishment. Any good deed that children do can actually earn us reward if we have taught them and if we have encouraged them. If we have not trained them and taught them about the deen, then that will hurt us as well. The same thing happens with wealth, how we earn it and how we spend it. Without iman, without obedience, it is all lost. Allah continues to speak about the hypocrites. He says, And they swear by Allah that they are from among you, meaning they are with you, and they are also believers like you, while they are not from among you, but they are a people who are afraid. Subhanallah. Allah says, If they could find a refuge or some caves or any place to enter and hide, they would turn to it while they run heedlessly. Run away from what? The difficulties, the obstacles that come that naturally come in the way of Islam. They run away from that. They're afraid of giving up this dunya because they feel as if their whole entire world is being constricted, that they can't breathe. Claustrophobia. Islam causes them claustrophobia. Subhanallah. And that is why they can never sacrifice for Islam. And that is why they can never do jihad. Allah says, And among them are some who criticize you concerning the distribution of charities. If they are given from them, they approve. But if they are not given from them, at once they become angry. A man called Hurqus protested against the Prophet's division of the war spoils of Hunain, saying, Be fair, for you have not been fair. The Prophet ﷺ said, I would have become a loser and a failure if I was not fair. The Messenger ﷺ said after that man left, Among the offspring of this man will be some, with whose prayer, when one of you sees it, would belittle his prayer, and his fast as compared to their fast. They will be renegades from the religion, just like an arrow goes through the game's body. Wherever you find them, kill them, for verily they are the worst of dead people under the cover of the sky. Who are these hypocrites? They think that they are more pious and knowledgeable than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A'udhu billah. They thought that they were more religious, more pious, and had more taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the Sahaba. This was the beginning of the Khawarij, the very first sect in Islam. They were extremists in religion. They believed if someone committed a sin, a serious sin like drinking alcohol, it automatically placed them out of the fold of Islam and made that person a kafir. Subhanallah, even though it was simply a sin, and Allah can forgive whatever He wills, but these were extremists. They had the audacity to criticize Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what did the Prophet say about such people? He said that they will be excellent in prayer. Their salah will be much better than the salah of the Sahaba. He said, when they fast, their fast will be much better than the fast of the Sahaba. But they are renegades from the religion. They have run away from the religion. They don't have the essence of religion. They do not understand Islam, these extremists. Allah says, Islam has entered their hearts and gone out of their hearts, just like an arrow goes through the game's body. And Rasulullah ﷺ also taught the Sahaba how to deal with them. He said, wherever you find them, kill them, these extremists in our religion, because he said they are the worst of dead people under the cover of the sky, alive but dead. They make a pomp and show of religion, as if they have the ownership of religion. They own Islam, subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that they did not even begin to understand Islam. They are a serious disease in the Muslim community and they must be rooted out. Allah says, if only they had been satisfied with what Allah and His Messenger gave them and said, sufficient for us is Allah. Allah will give us of His bounty and so will His Messenger. Indeed, we are desirous toward Allah, meaning that we just desire Allah and His grace and acceptance, or we desire whatever Allah wills to give us of His bounty. We are pleased with Allah, whatever He decides for us. Allah says it would have been better for them. Allah says zakah expenditures are only for the poor and for the needy and for those employed to collect zakah and for bringing hearts together for Islam and for freeing captives or slaves and for those in debt and for the cause of Allah and for the stranded traveler, an obligation imposed by Allah, and Allah is knowing and wise. Allah explains who actually is entitled to zakah. Fuqara, those who own property in excess of basic necessities, but below the value of nisab. What is nisab? Nisab is a certain minimum amount of extra wealth fully owned by a person in excess of personal use. Personal use such as clothing, food, shelter, household furniture, utensils, cars, etc. They should have had this minimum amount in possession for a complete lunar year. And the wealth should be of a productive nature, from which they can derive profit or benefit, such as merchandise for business, gold, silver, livestock, etc., and it should be free of debt. Fuqara means beggars, the poor. Masakin means persons of extreme poverty who possess no wealth whatsoever. Amilin means the zakat collector, those persons who are appointed by an Islamic head of state or government to collect zakat. It is not necessary that this should be a needy person. Muallafatul qulub means those poor and needy persons who are given zakat with the intentions of solidifying their hearts because they perhaps have recently reverted to Islam or to bring them closer to Islam. Ariqa means slaves whose masters have agreed to let them free on a payment of a fixed amount. Zakat may be used to purchase their freedom. Ibn Sabil means a traveler who, whilst wealthy at his residence, is stranded and in need of financial assistance. Al-Gharimin means a person whose debts exceeds his assets and his net assets, meaning after deducting his liabilities, and is below the nisab limit. To determine whether a person qualifies, his basic necessities of life, house, furniture, clothes, vehicle, etc. will not be taken into account. It is conditional that the debts were not created for any un-Islamic or sinful purpose. So a person who is overburdened with debt, al-gharimin. And then, fi sabilillah, those who are away from home in the path of Allah, those in jihad, those seeking knowledge, or a stranded haji may be assisted with zakat if needed. Zakat calculations are based on 2.5% of the total net worth that is available at the end of one lunar year. What is zakatable? Total gold value without jewels, total silver value without jewels, cash on hand, checking account, savings account, business bank account, stocks and mutual funds, business merchandise inventory, retirement plans like 401k, IRA, etc., real estate excluding personal residence, other funds, profits, trust, partnerships, etc., and the liabilities and expenses are deducted, that is the net worth, and 2.5% of that must be annually given as zakat. A Muslim must consult the local sheikh or local scholar because a person's needs and person's assets might differ from one to another. Agricultural products or animals, etc., might be liable for zakat. Again, one must check with the local sheikh or scholar for more information. What is the punishment for not calculating and paying zakah properly? Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, "And let not those who hoard up that which Allah has bestowed upon them of His bounty think that it is better for them. Rather, it is worse for them. That which they hoard will be a collar on the day of resurrection. Allah's is the heritage of the heavens and the earth, and Allah is informed of what you do." Further, At-Tabarani relates on the authority of Ali radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah has enjoined upon rich Muslims a due to be taken from their properties, corresponding to the needs of the poor among them. The poor will never suffer from starvation or lack of clothes unless the rich neglect their due. If they do, Allah will surely hold them accountable and punish them severely." In Sahih Bukhari, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "Whoever is made wealthy by Allah and does not pay the zakat of his wealth, then on the day of resurrection his wealth will be made like a bald-headed poisonous snake with two black spots over the eyes. The snake will encircle his neck and bite his cheeks and say, 'I am your wealth, I am your treasure.'" Subhanallah, may Allah save us from that. Ameen. Allah says in Surah Tawbah, as we have read, "Those who hoard up treasures of gold and silver and spend them not in the way of Allah, give them the news of a painful punishment on the day when that wealth will be heated in the fire of hell, and with it will be branded their forehead, their sides, and their backs. And it will be said to them, 'This is a treasure which you hoarded for yourselves. Now taste of what you used to hoard.'" Allah then continues to speak about the hypocrites. "And among them are those who abuse the Prophet and say, 'He is an ear,' meaning that he is one who believes everything he hears." Subhanallah. They would always make fun of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah has honored him, so Allah himself defends him always. And here he says, "Say, it is an ear of goodness for you that believes in Allah and believes the believers, and is a mercy to those who believe among you." Why would they make fun of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because he was very tolerant and he had excellent manners. Whenever they would show up at his doorstep with silly excuses on why they could not participate in jihad, on why they could not give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and why they would demand and why they needed to demand money instead from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would simply accept their excuses. He would not get angry with them, neither would he punish them. So they would turn around and simply make fun of him for that very reason, because of his tolerance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala steps in and defends his messenger. And he says, "It is an ear of goodness for you that believes in Allah and believes the believers, and is a mercy to those who believe among you. And those who abuse the messenger of Allah, for them is a painful punishment." Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. "They swear by Allah to you Muslims to satisfy you, but Allah and his messenger are more worthy for them to satisfy if they should be believers. They should actually please Allah and His Messenger, not simply pay lip service and try to impress the believers, other Muslims." We need to make sure that we do not have any of these characteristics of hypocrisy. May Allah purify our hearts from hypocrisy. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah says, "Do they not know that whoever opposes Allah and His Messenger, that for him is the fire of hell, wherein he will abide eternally? That is a great disgrace. Are they not afraid of humiliation? They cannot humiliate anyone else. They cannot humiliate the believers in this life. But in Akhirah, they themselves will suffer humiliation, the hypocrites, those who simply pretended to be Muslims, just for benefit, just for worldly benefit." Allah says the hypocrites are apprehensive, lest a surah be revealed about them, informing them of what is in their hearts. Say, "Mock as you wish. Indeed, Allah will expose that which you fear. And if you ask them, they will surely say, 'We were only conversing and playing. Oh, it was just a joke. We were just chatting. We didn't mean anything by it. Oh, don't be so serious.'" Allah says, "Say, 'Is it Allah and His verses and His messenger that you are mocking? Is this the only thing that you can find to talk about and make fun of, to mock? Allah, His messenger, His ayat, the Quran? Allah says, make no excuse. You have disbelieved, you have rejected faith after your belief. You accepted Islam, but now with your attitude and your behavior, you have actually disbelieved. Allah says, if we pardon one faction of you, we will punish another faction because they were criminals. The hypocrite men and hypocrite women are of one another. They enjoin what is wrong and forbid what is right and close their hands. Meaning they refuse to spend in the way of Allah. They have an opposite mode of life. They encourage other people to do evil. They encourage other people to disobey Allah and His Messenger. And they discourage Muslims from obeying Allah and His Messenger. Subhanallah. Allah says, they have forgotten Allah, so He has forgotten them accordingly. Subhanallah. Nasullaha fa nasiyahum. They forgot Allah. How can someone forget Allah? Only if He is not important to them. Only if He is not a central figure in their lives. Then and only then. Only if they are not grateful to Allah. Then and only then can people forget Allah. So Allah says they have forgotten Allah. They are unafraid. They do not care about Allah. It is not even important and never even crosses their minds that He is watching them and He can hear everything. Allah says, so He has forgotten them accordingly, meaning that He now places no importance to them. He does not help them. He does not purify them. He does not aid them. Allah says, indeed, the hypocrites, it is they who are the defiantly disobedient. Al-Fasiqoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that they are going to be in the lowest pits of hellfire. Allah has promised the hypocrite men and hypocrite women and the disbelievers the fire of hell, wherein they will abide eternally. It is sufficient for them, and Allah has cursed them. For them is an enduring punishment. You disbelievers are like those before you. They were stronger than you in power and more abundant in wealth and children. They enjoyed their portion of worldly enjoyment, and you have enjoyed your portion, as those before you enjoyed their portion. And you have engaged in vanities like that in which they engaged. It is those whose deeds have become worthless in this world and in the hereafter, and it is they who are the losers. Allah says, have your fun, because your fun ends with this world. Allah says then, has there not reached them the news of those before them, the people of Noah and the tribes of Ad and Thamud and the people of Abraham and the companions, meaning dwellers of Madian, and the towns overturned, meaning those to which Lut alayhi salam, Lot was sent to? Their messengers came to them with clear proofs, and Allah would never have wronged them, but they were wronging themselves. And believing men and believing women, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعَدُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعَدُ. The believing men and believing women are allies of one another. They enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong, and establish prayer and give zakah, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Those Allah will have mercy upon them. Indeed, Allah is exalted in might and wise. One thing that truly stands out over here and is repeated throughout the Quran is a concept of forbidding evil and enjoining good. Believers support each other. They remind each other when they see one another making mistakes. That is a believer. Ad-deenu an-nasiha. True deen is sincere advice. Even if someone does not like you to criticize them, you still have to quietly, sensitively, privately remind them, encourage them to do good, and forbid them, stop them from doing evil. The Prophet ﷺ said, the believer to the believer is just like a building, its parts support each other. And the Prophet crossed his fingers together. We need to be tolerant and really appreciate if someone comes to you and tells you that you have not done something according to the Sunnah, or you have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some way, or you have been rude to someone, you have hurt someone's feelings, or you have committed a fraud or being dishonest or anything. Subhanallah, that person is more valuable to you than gold and diamonds. because that person has the courage and sincerity to come to you, guard your honor, and still correct you in the most beautiful manner. That is a sincere friend, a friend for the sake of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, "The example of the believers in compassion and mercy they have for each other is the example of one body. If a part of it falls ill, the rest of the body suffers with fever and sleeplessness." From Sahih Muslim. Fever and sleeplessness? Do we worry about other people? Or we simply don't care? Mind your own business, right? That seems to be the attitude of modern times. But Islam does not rest. Islam does not let us rest. Islam wants us to support each other to be better than what we can be. We had learned from the story of the fishing village of the Bani Israel that the bystanders who did not prevent the criminals from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were also punished along with the doers of evil. So one of the marked qualities of believing men and believing women is that they are true protecting friends of one another. That is what a wali is. They enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong and establish prayer and give zakah and obey Allah and His Messenger. Those Allah will have mercy upon them. Indeed, Allah is exalted in might and wise. This is the way to receive the mercy of Allah. May Allah have mercy upon us. Ameen. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Allah has promised the believing men and believing women gardens beneath which rivers flow, wherein they abide eternally, and pleasant dwellings and gardens of perpetual residence. But approval from Allah? It is greater. It is that which is the great attainment. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Imagine that Allah is pleased with you, that Allah is pleased and will never be angry again. Isn't that the whole point of this exercise of life? To make Allah pleased with us, to make Him happy with us? May Allah be happy with us, Ameen. Allah says that is the greatest attainment, that Allah is happy. So what are these pleasant dwellings? In the two Sahihs, Bukhari and Muslim, it is recorded that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Two gardens, their pots and whatever is in them are made of gold, and two gardens, their pots and whatever is in them made of silver. Only the veil of pride of Allah's face separates the people from gazing at Him in the Garden of Eden." He also narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "For the believer in paradise, there is a tent like a hollow pearl, which is 60 miles high in the sky. And in the tent, the believer will have so large a family that he visits them all, and some of them would not be able to see the others." Alhamdulillah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also reported to have said, "Whoever believes in Allah and His Messenger, offers prayers perfectly, and fasts the month of Ramadan, will rightfully be granted paradise by Allah, no matter whether he emigrates in Allah's cause or remains in the land where he is born." The people said, "O Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shall we acquaint the people with this good news?" They were happy at this. "How simple! Let us go and tell everyone." He, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, replied instead, "Paradise, Jannah, has 100 grades, which Allah has prepared for the mujahideen who fight in His cause. The distance between each two grades is like the distance between the heaven and the earth. So when you ask Allah, ask Him for Al-Firdaus, which is the best and highest part of paradise. From it gush forth the rivers of paradise, and above it is the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So yes, a person who fulfills those requirements mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will get into paradise. But is that enough? Should we not want more? We should, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the difference between each grade of Jannah, and there are 100 levels in Jannah. May Allah grant us al-firdaus. Ameen. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If you invoke Allah for salah, blessings on me, then also invoke Him to grant me al-wasila." He was asked, "What is al-wasila, O Allah's Messenger?" He said, "The highest grade in paradise. It will be for only one man, and I hope that I am that man." Abu Huraira said, "We said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talk to us about paradise. What is it built of?" He said, "A brick of gold and a brick of silver. Its mortar is made from musk. Its gravel is pearls and rubies. Its sand is saffron. Whoever enters it will enjoy the delights, will never be hopeless, and will live forever and will not die. His clothes will never decay, nor will his youth ever end." Alhamdulillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us Jannah with His mercy. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. But then in this ayah, Allah also says, وَرِضْوَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. The greatest bliss is the good pleasure of Allah, meaning Allah's pleasure is more grand, greater, and better than the delight the believers will enjoy in paradise. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah the Exalted and Ever High will say to the people of Jannah, O residents of paradise," they will say, "Labbaik, we are here, our Lord, and Sa'daik, we are happy at your service, and all good is in your hand." He will ask them, "Are you pleased?" Allah will speak with them and say, "Are you pleased? Are you happy?" They will say, "Why would we not be pleased, O Lord, while you have given us what you have not given any other of your creation?" He will say, "Should I give you what is better than all this?" They will say, "O Lord, what is better than all this?" He will say, "I will grant you my pleasure and will never afterwards be angry with you." Alhamdulillah. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya Rabbal Alameen. The two Sahihs collected this hadith. Ya ayyuhan nabiyu. O Prophet, fight against the disbelievers and the hypocrites and be harsh upon them. And their refuge is hell, and wretched is the destination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala annulled lenient treatment of hypocrites at this point. Allah says, Waghluz alayhim, meaning punish them. When you talk to them, speak to them harshly. There's no reason left to be soft with them anymore. Allah says, they swear by Allah that they did not say anything against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while they had said the word of disbelief and disbelieved after their pretense of Islam and planned that which they were not to attain. The hypocrites in Medina were planning the murder of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says, and they were not resentful except for the fact that Allah and His Messenger had enriched them of His bounty. Meaning for no reason, on the contrary, they should have been thankful because they were getting spoils of war and they got honor and respect in that land. This verse was revealed about some men who wanted to crown Abdullah ibn Ubay, who was chief of the hypocrites, even if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not agree. It was reported that some hypocrites plotted to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was at the Battle of Tabuk riding one night. All the while they were pretending to be true believers. Hudhayfa bin Yaman radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, "Among my companions are 12 hypocrites who will never enter paradise or find its scent until the camel enters the thread of the needle. Each of them will be struck by Zubayla, which is a missile made of fire that appears between their shoulders and pierces their chest." That is why Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was called the holder of the secret, for he knew who these hypocrites were, since Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave their names to him and none else. And who were the Sahaba who were most concerned with this list, whether their name was on it or not? People like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. People like Umar radiallahu anhu. In fact, Umar radiallahu anhu used to pester Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu all the time until finally he gave in and he said to him one day, "I will tell you and no one else that your name is not on the list." The hypocrites, the people with weak iman, did not care. They did not want to know. A true believer will always worry about hypocrisy, because hypocrisy is something that we cannot identify within ourselves. And we must not identify in other people, because that is a trick of shaitan and its root cause is arrogance. Just concentrate on yourself and always be afraid and ask Allah to purify us from hypocrisy. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah says, so if they repent, it is better for them. But if they turn away, Allah will punish them with a painful punishment in this world and the hereafter, and there will not be for them on earth any protector or helper. And among them are those who made a covenant with Allah, saying, if He should give us from His bounty, we will surely spend in charity, and we will surely be among the righteous. You know, we have no money. We simply don't have enough. Yes, one day, when Allah will give us more, then we will give in charity. Subhanallah, Allah says, but when He gave them from His bounty, they were stingy with it and turned away while they refused. It's another sign of hypocrisy. So He penalized them with hypocrisy in their hearts until the day they will meet Him, because they failed Allah in what they promised Him and because they habitually used to lie. We learn something very interesting from this ayah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not seal a person's heart with hypocrisy from the very beginning. Allah gives chances. So even if someone acts with hypocrisy a few times, it does not mean that this is how they will end up. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sealed their hearts with hypocrisy because it became a habit for them. They would habitually lie about their feelings for Islam. They would habitually lie about their understanding of Islam and about their motivation for Islam. May Allah make us alert all the time. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah says, did they not know that Allah knows their secrets and their private conversations, and that Allah is knower of the unseen? Do they not realize when they make fun of the Sahaba that Allah can hear? When they make fun of the sacrifices of the believers that Allah can see? When they make fun of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a'udhu billah, that Allah is aware? Allah says He knows the unseen. How can one be a Muslim and yet be completely unaware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah says those who criticize the contributors among the believers concerning their charities and criticize the ones who find nothing to spend except their effort, so they ridicule them, Allah will ridicule them and they will have a painful punishment. Abu Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, when the verses of charity were revealed, we used to work as porters. A man came and distributed objects of charity in abundance, and they, the hypocrites, said, oh, he is showing off. Another man came and gave Asa'a a small measure of food grains. They said, Allah is not in need of this small amount of charity. Then this ayah was revealed. Ibn Abbas said, one day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out to the people and called them to bring forth their charity, and they started bringing their charity. Among the last to come forth was a man who brought a sa'a of dates, saying, O Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a sa'a of dates, a small quantity of dates. I spent the night bringing water and earned 2 sa'a of dates for my work. I kept 1 sa'a and brought you the other sa'a. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered him to add it to the charity. Some men mocked that man, saying, Allah and His Messenger are not in need of this charity. What benefit would this sa'a of yours bring? Abdul Rahman bin Auf asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are there any more people who give charity? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, none besides you. Abdul Rahman bin Auf said, I will give 100 uqiyah of gold as a charity. Umar bin al-Khattab said to him, are you crazy? Abdul Rahman said, I am not crazy. Umar said, have you given what you said you would give? Abdul Rahman said, yes, I have 8,000 dirhams, 4,000 I give as a loan to my Lord, and 4,000 I keep for myself. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may Allah bless you for what you kept and what you gave away. However, the hypocrites defamed him. He said, by Allah, Abdul Rahman gave what he gave just to show off. They lied. For Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu willingly gave that money, and Allah revealed about his innocence and the innocence of the fellow who was poor and brought only a saha of dates. People do the same thing even about non-religious matters. For example, you must have noticed, if someone has just all boys, they will say to the woman, and mostly the woman, "Don't you want a girl?" Subhanallah. And if someone just has girls, they will continue to remind her and ask her, "Well, don't you want a boy?" As if it is in the control of human beings, subhanallah. Whatever we do not have, people will find a way to criticize us for it. And whatever we do have, they will also find a way to criticize it, subhanallah. Allah then says, "Ask forgiveness for them, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or do not ask forgiveness for them. If you should ask forgiveness for them 70 times, never will Allah forgive them. That is because they disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger, and Allah does not guide the defiantly disobedient people." The number 70 here was mentioned to close the door on this subject. For Arabs used to use this number when they exaggerate, not that they actually mean 70 or more than 70. Abdullah ibn Ubay was a leader of the hypocrites in Medina. He was going to be crowned the king of Medina before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated and people accepted him as their leader. So he was always jealous. He pretended to be Muslim, but he was always plotting and planning behind the backs of the believers. But when he died, his son went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, "My father has died. I wish you could attend him and pray the funeral prayer for him." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What is your name?" He said, "Al-Hubab bin Abdullah." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Rather, you are Abdullah bin Abdullah, for Al-Hubab is a devil's name." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went along with him, attended his father's funeral, gave him his shirt as a shroud, and prayed the funeral prayer for him. He was asked, "Would you pray on him when he is a hypocrite?" He said, "Allah said, and even if you ask 70 times for their forgiveness, verily I will ask Allah to forgive them 70 times and 70 times more and 70 more." Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. He truly was the greatest man who ever lived. Allah then says, "Those who remained behind," meaning from Tabuk, "and did not go to fight, rejoiced in their staying at home after the departure of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and disliked to strive with their wealth and their lives in the cause of Allah, and said, 'Do not go forth in the heat.' Say, 'The fire of hell is more intense in heat,' if they would but understand. So let them laugh a little, and then weep much as recompense for what they used to earn. If Allah should return you to a faction of them after the expedition, and then they ask your permission to go out to battle, say, 'You will not go out with me ever, and you will never fight with me an enemy. Indeed, you were satisfied with sitting at home the first time, so sit now with those who stay behind. And do not pray the funeral prayer, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, over any of them who had died ever, or stand at his grave. Indeed, they disbelieved in Allah and his messenger and died while they were defiantly disobedient." Umar radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam offered the prayer for Abdullah ibn Ubay and walked with the funeral procession and stood on his grave until he was buried. He said, "I was amazed at my daring to talk like this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he had tried to stop him. He was amazed because he knew that Allah and his messenger have better knowledge. But he said, 'By Allah, soon afterwards, these two ayat were revealed. And do not pray the funeral prayer, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, over any of them who has died ever, or stand at his grave. Indeed, they disbelieved in Allah and his messenger and died while they were defiantly disobedient.'" Ever since this revelation came, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never offered the funeral prayer for any hypocrite, nor stood on his grave until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought death to him. Allah says in the next ayah, "And let not their wealth and their children impress you." Allah only intends to punish them through them in this world, and that their souls should depart at death while they are disbelievers. Allah reiterates this again, that they might be very rich, and they might have a lot of successful children, but it does not mean that Allah is pleased with them. Allah says that when a surah was revealed enjoining them to believe in Allah and to fight with His Messenger, those of wealth among them asked your permission to stay back and said, "Leave us to be with them who sit at home." They were satisfied to be with those who stay behind, and their hearts were sealed over, so they do not understand. Only the weak, the children, and the women had stayed behind. Allah says, but the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who believed with him fought with their wealth and their lives. Those will have all that is good, and it is those who are the successful. Allah has prepared for them gardens beneath which rivers flow, wherein they will abide eternally. That is a great attainment. And those with excuses among the Bedouins came to be permitted to remain, and they sat at home who had lied. They had lied about their iman, they had lied about their excuses. Allah says, who had lied to Allah and His Messenger, there will strike those who disbelieved among them a painful punishment. There is not upon the weak, or upon the ill, or upon those who do not find anything to spend any discomfort, meaning guilt, when they are sincere to Allah and His Messenger, there is not upon the doers of good any cause for blame, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. Nor is there blame upon those who, when they came to you that you might give them mounts, meaning a ride, transportation, to go on the battle of Tabuk, you said, "I can find nothing for you to ride upon." They turned back while their eyes overflowed with tears out of grief that they could not find something to spend for the cause of Allah. At what do we cry? Do we cry when we are left behind when someone is going to the masjid? Do we cry when we are left behind when someone is going out to do something for the sake of Allah, for Islam? Or do we cry when we are not invited to the social event of the year? What of those people who could not find a ride, who could not find transportation? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave good news about them. He said to the Sahaba, "Some people have remained behind you in Al-Madinah, and you never spent anything, crossed a valley, or inflicted hardship on an enemy, but they were sharing the reward with you." Then he recited the ayah, "Nor is there blame on those who came to you to be provided with mounts when you said, 'I can find no mounts for you.'" This teaches us an amazing, amazing principle, that if we truly cannot find a way to serve Allah's deen, but we truly regret it and tears flow from our eyes out of sincerity and grief and distress that we have been left behind, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the same reward. Dhalikumullahu rabbukum. That is Allah your Rabb. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillah, we have completed the 10th juz. And we see there was a great contrast between hypocrisy and belief. In Surah Al-Anfal as well, about the Battle of Badr, about the distribution of the spoils of war. And then so much of references to hypocrisy in Surah Tawbah. And it seems that Surah Tawbah is simply a discourse about the details of hypocrisy, the different aspects of hypocrisy. And real life people have been made an example, placed in front of us in the Quran. We need to be warned because these were Muslims. These were people who had accepted Islam. Yet their actions and their choices were so different from that of the Sahaba. And their end is so different from the Sahaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states what is going to be their end. We need to really ponder over these ayat and examine them very closely. Make a list of these qualities for ourselves so that at least by the mercy of Allah we might be aware of them when we fall into this. Keep in mind, bear in mind that Muslims will fall into hypocrisy at some point or another. There are only two things to do. Number one, seek help from Allah. Ask Him to remove hypocrisy from our hearts. Number two, hold fast to the Quran, read the Quran over and over again. There is a reason why these stories and events are mentioned in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His perfect wisdom, has placed this before us and made it obligatory upon us to read and understand the Quran because it is for our benefit. This is the guidance, the light, the criterion by which we can truly attain success by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.